Blog Talk Radio.
Psyche Talk Radio. I'm Dax Carlisle coming to you from the winter wonderland that is Tucson, Arizona right now. Oh my God. Welcome to the show. And of course, let me bring on my fabulous co-host, the one, the only Mary Brown. Hey, Mary.
Hi, Dax. Hey. Are you enjoying the, are you going skiing yet down the highway in Tucson?
Pretty much. Yeah. You need a skis or a
snowshoes
or something like that. Oh, my God. Because it does not snow in Tucson, Arizona. You know, we are a desert, folks. Yeah, you know, you've seen all the movies with the cactuses, and the big giant saguaros that look like a man, you know, with the arms come off it and everything like that. You
oh,
know?
Yeah.
And mostly all those movies are, guess what? They're filmed here in Tucson, Arizona. We actually have a major film studio here. You know, and all the movies you remember, you know, I mean, if you're old like Mary and me, remember all the movies, you know, with John Wayne and all
cowboy
movies and the westerns
yeah.
and everything. Guess what? They were all filmed here in Tucson, Arizona. Yeah, and we have the cactuses and all this stuff. We don't have snow. Now, we do have mountains around us. We have Mount Lemmon, and, you know, you go way up on the mountain where it's high elevation. And we get snow up there. In fact, you know, they actually have skiing and things like that up there. But down here in the valley, it doesn't snow, you know. And then the other thing is we're actually way higher than Phoenix. Everybody thinks of Phoenix, Arizona, you know, is the capital
yeah.
of Arizona. And it's north of Tucson, okay, kind of north, kind of northwestish, you know, but, you know, almost straight up from us. But it's actually down from us. See, Tucsonans say we're going down to going down to Phoenix because we are up at 3,000-something feet, and Phoenix mm-hmm. is at sea level. But they even got snow there yesterday. I heard in Scottsdale and some places there was even a little snow. Oh, my God, the winter wonderland. By the way, I want to welcome everybody to the new Mary Brown Network, All Mary Brown, All the Time.
It seems like it this week. I'm like, and I said to my husband, Perry, I'm like, you know, I really kind of feel like this is too much of me you know, this week. I don't know. It's weird. It was so weird how, you know, all these sort of things kind of, you know, collided together, you know. It was fun, though. I had a great time
yeah.
talking to Coots. Oh, my.
Yeah. Well, we have our show on Saturdays, but then Dr. Rose was ill last Friday. So in a pinch, you know, last minute, I mean, literally, you know, the show's starting at 30 minutes. Can you join me kind of thing? You know, so Mary Brown joined me on Friday, and then we were together on Saturday, 2 days in a row. And then you were on with Cooch on Wednesday. And that was a
oh, yeah.
fabulous, fun show. And now
yeah,
we're back
was,
again.
And now we're here again, yeah. So, yeah, I feel like I don't even have to say what I've been up to because I've obviously, you know, people know I've been on the air a lot. But I love doing
yes,
Psychic Saturdays. Happy Psychic Saturday, everybody.
Our favorite show. Yeah, I hope you have something left to say because you were on all that time. Don't know. Just kidding. You always got something to say. Yeah, and we're always doing open lines and always taking your phone calls on Saturdays. So give us a ring, 714-816-4628. I see a caller or two in the queue. Remember to press number 1 on your keypad. Yep, when you dial in, 714-816-4628, press 1. That way we know you want to be live on air. Plenty of room on the switchboard right now. Also, you can join us in the chat room at psychictalk.net/live. You'll find the player to the show, and you can listen to us, and you can scroll down under the player. You'll find the chat room. And I see Sharona in there and Maria G. Moss. Oh, my God. Hi, Maria. Hi, Sharona. Lil Fairy's in there. In fact, Lil Fairy already put a question in the chat room. And that's another way, right, Mary, that you can ask questions. If you can't call in. Sometimes people are listening to us, they're at work and stuff, and they got the earbuds in, and their boss doesn't know, and so they can't actually call into the show. But you can type it into the chat room, psychytalk.net/live. Of course, we would love to, we prefer to talk to you because it's really fun. Give us a call, 714-816-468. And then we have a little mini topic today, too. Going down the rabbit hole, is there more than one reality? Or maybe I should have said, are there more than one reality?
Realities.
We're going to talk about that on the show today, but we're going to go, I think, take a phone call first. Before we go to the phone call, though, let's do Lil Fairy's question. I'm going to bring up my handy-dandy I forgot to get my cards here. I got to shuffle and everything. What's Lil Fairy's question, Mary?
Lil Fairy asks, says, hi, Mary and Dax. Yesterday, male coworker YDA and I had to communicate because of work. I could feel the attraction, but I stayed very professional. He was respectful, too. Do you pick up anything about this situation? Please and thanks. I'm going to shuffle.
Awesome.
I'm going to shuffle
me
on
too,
this.
Me too. Okay. Is there a thing there? What's really going on? Yeah. What you getting?
Well, I'm getting it probably. it's funny. It's like I got two pages and I got two nines and I got the chariot card. So I think that is kind of interesting in of itself. The page of cups comes up along with the page of swords, right? So, what's kind of funny to me, having like, a couple, similar cards, two pages, two nines, and a chariot card. The chariot card to me is like saying like, okay, it is about, kind of getting on the same page, no pun intended, in order for something to happen here. She's feeling an attraction. He seems to me that, for right now, he's just, he was just communicating. Those pages a lot of times are about communication. The page of cups, a lot of times, is the more emotional, representative of that in that communication. But, those pages both talk about, like, the beginning, a new concept, a new aspect of things. And what's interesting to me is having the Nine of Wands, something else. And the Nine of Pentacles is in the center, which is great. So I feel like that's all like a really strong maybe, and saying that right now, we're really, really in the early, early stages, obviously, if anything happening. I would say, there's such an emphasis on communication here that more communication needs to happen in order for it to go anywhere, if in fact, that's what you want. Sometimes, the world is full of attractive people. And we can be attracted to people and not necessarily, have to do anything about it either. What are you getting?
I'm kind of getting that she does have to do something. As always, I have done this as a 5-card yes-no spread. And I got three yeses. Now, four or five yeses are a, you know, pretty definite yes. And then when you get three yeses out of five, it's probably yes. It's still strongly, like you were saying, strongly leaning in that direction that, there, you know, there's something there. But the cards I'm getting are all talking about her taking action, and that that she's really in the driver's seat. And then there's other cards talking about, you know, but go slow. It's all it's very, very slow and casual in these cards. It's, you know, take a step back from the whole situation, review, take a look at everything, and, you know, see, you know, kind of feel your way through it is what's coming up in my cards.
Oh, yeah. I definitely can see that, you know, that idea of feeling your way through it, especially with the Page of Cups that I got, and saying just like, okay, you know, it's really early. Let's just talk more. Let's see what happens.
Exactly. So my strong feeling, and from what I'm seeing in the cards, is that there's definite potential. And it looks like it could probably go that way. There's more to it, but she's in the driver's seat, really, you know. So like you were talking about, taking time to communicate and build up to that point, you know. But however, I also feel like that she's the one that's going to have to initiate anything, that he's not going to do it. That's what I'm getting there. Okay, so I hope that helped you out, Lil Fairy. And we're going to take a phone call. Let's see who's been waiting the longest. Oh, L.A. Hey, caller, what's your name? Where are you calling from?
Yes, hi, my name is Susan. I'm calling from Long Beach, California.
The LBC.
Awesome.
The LBC, woo-woo.
Yeah.
Did you want a reading today, or did you just want to share something with us about the topic of, is there more than one reality? What do we want to talk about?
Actually, first of all, I do believe there's more than one reality, but I actually was calling in to find out if you had any insight about me maybe possibly getting another job.
A new job? Okay. And have you been putting yourself out there? Have you been applying?
Yes. And I've been looking too. Yes.
Okay. Anyone you in particular you want us to look at, or just this, the concept of like the new job in general?
Yeah, just the concept. Because, I mean, they're all in different places. They're doing basically the same thing, but just different places.
Dex, who goes first? You go first, right? I think.
Yeah, I was wondering, Susan, is there something going on at your current job? Because there's like some kind of, cards coming up talking about that, you know, manipulation, things going on behind the scenes, tactics, cunning, evasiveness, strategy, you know, things like that coming up.
It's a hot mess. So, and I need to get out before it totally implodes, I think.
Yeah, that's what's really coming up, because then right after those cards is the Death card, which talks about the completion of a phase or a cycle. And when you look in the background, the card, just like it's very similar to the Ten of Swords, only this one is where there's in the background that a new day is dawning. And that's the whole concept here. Both cards are talking about transition, but the Death card is a major arcana card. And I feel that this is going to be much more significant. And the move I'm seeing is more about, you become the star. You know, you're the focus, and the Empress card is showing up talking about development, growth, fruitfulness, even maternal instinct.
Okay.
Coming up. But yes, a definite transition and moving on to something else. Let's see what Mary's getting. What are you getting, Mary?
Awesome. Thank you.
I'm getting a few things here, and yeah, I think you definitely need to like kind of move on from this. You know, the thing that's interesting to me is a couple things. One, you know, a lot of pinnacle cards here, like 4 out of 5 cards are pinnacle cards, right? And, you know, what that means to me is like, okay, you know, let's look at the financial impact on this, okay?
Okay.
And we have the 8 of Pentacles in the past position and the 5 of Pentacles in the present energy. So what it seems to me is like one of two things are going on here. Either the things that are happening at your current job may be impacting you financially or starting to, or that making the shift is going to be like initially a bit of a financial impact. So, but we also have the 10 of Pentacles overlooking everything else with the Page of Pentacles underneath it, and then we get the Chariot card in the end. So, you know, just to summarize that, what I'm picking up from it is that even if the new job that you take on, it seems like less money than you really wanted, than you're looking for.
Right.
You don't have to necessarily let that stop you, because it doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to be less money forever. I think, you know, that 10 of Pentacles is saying like, okay, you know, coming up after the 5, it's like, all right, so initially you might be like a little bit not too thrilled with the money aspect of the new job, but that can easily shift, that this can easily be successful for you financially as well as, you know, the other aspects, being someplace where you'd rather be, basically.
Okay.
The other thing that's weird is, you know, I'm really feeling this strange time frame connected to this. I know you didn't really ask about timing, but for some reason, I'm really feeling the month of April, and that may be either you're already in the new job by then, or maybe that's when you start the new job, something like that. But for some reason, I'm feeling April, so thought I'd throw that out there. I don't know what your expectation is, if you're expecting something right away or not.
No, actually, no, because especially if I have to move or anything like that. So I'm fine with time.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that makes sense then.
You know, I'm not in, like, desperate straits, but certainly not happy. And I also foresee some things coming up and going to be bad, so I just kind of want to get away from it as soon as I possibly can, but
right.
You know, I don't want to feel rushed either. I don't have to rush.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Good. So, yeah, just kind of, you know, kind of keep that money thing in mind, you know, because what I feel could happen is that, like, you know, you might find a job that kind of checks all the boxes for you except for that starting pay, and you know, make sure that you ask about the, you know, potential, you know, for that to shift. Because I think that's what you're going to end up finding is one that's like a little less than we want, but you have opportunities to grow and to advance there.
Awesome. I will.
Awesome.
Thank you so much.
Thanks
for
calling.
The call, Susan.
Thank you. Many blessings to you both.
Thank you. Have a great weekend.
And to you. One thing I didn't mention, Mary, was when you were talking to Susan, that the central card I got was actually the Chariot. Endurance, a journey,
yeah.
decisions made at a time of crisis, triumph through adversity, spiritual growth, progress, taking a trip. All those things, you know, it all really fits the situation.
Oh, yeah, and I got the Chariot in the future position. So
oh,
Chariot,
look at that.
Chariot came up twice there. That's a great sign.
My main focus card, my main focus. I love when we get the same cards like that. It happens so frequently that, you know, it's not coincidence, folks. It has to be synchronicity if it's happening that many times.
It makes me feel like there may be another reality out there, right?
Makes you think. Yeah. So speaking of that, before we go back to the phone lines, everybody that's in the queue, hang in there. We're going to come back to phones in a little bit here. But we need to talk a little bit about our topic. And meanwhile, while we're talking, this is a great time to call in. So let me give out the phone number again, Mary. 714-816-4628. Remember, you can join us in the chat room at psychictalk.net/live, and you can ask questions and make comments, and you can also ask for mini readings like Little Fairy did at the beginning of the show right there in the chat room at psychictalk.net/live. But we'd love to talk to you on the phone line, 714-816-4628. And remember, we take the calls in the order that they come in. So call in now, secure your space, you know, your spot in the queue there, and don't hang up and call back in because you'll end up at the bottom of the queue. So hang in there, folks. But going down the rabbit hole, is there more than one reality? Now, I think you were the one that came up with this one, Mary, and for a topic. And, you know, how did you come up with that? And what do you want to say about that?
Well, I think, you know, I was reading, you know, I read a lot of different stuff. This is like doesn't always seem related to one another. But I've been reading this book by Ingo Swann, you know, the father of remote viewing, you know, one of the founders of it. And he talks about the second reality, you know, and that's kind of what we're tapping into, and this concept of, you know, okay, you know, what we perceive around us as being our reality, you know, we're only getting a glimpse of everything that's there. I mean, what, you know, physicists say that, you know, what, 96 or something, a really high percentage of the universe is this dark matter, right? You know, it's like everywhere, but we don't really, you know, it's more subtle. We don't really know exactly what it is. Think of how we perceive our world. We perceive it through our five senses, you know, and those five senses have filters on them, you know, whether it's our belief systems or our own experience. And really, when you think of the physical filters, you know, what we see through our eyes, you know, it hits the retina, right? So what are we not seeing? You know, we know that there are certain members of the animal kingdom that can see infrared. Mm-hmm. We can't see that. So those extra things that they can see, how can we, you know, perceive it? You know, and we don't include it
not
in our reality.
Not only that, Mary, but our five senses can only perceive the first four dimensions. And scientists tell us that there's upwards to 11 different dimensions, but we can only perceive the first five of the first four of those dimensions with our five senses. So you've got height and width and depth and time, and that's all we can perceive. But they tell us, you know, we're living inside of multiple dimensions. You know, there might be 7 or 9 or 10 or 11. They don't really know, but the math points towards, you know, upwards to 11 different dimensions, so most of which we're not perceiving, right?
Exactly. So we don't consider it reality, you know, and that's a funny thing. And, you know, so often, you know, when we have, you know, I made the joke about us both getting the chariot card, but you know, when we have meaningful coincidences, or if we call them synchronicities, I think oftentimes that gives us a glimpse that there's another thing at work, you know, that there's another whole thing at work there. And when we go into altered states, I mean, you know, you do a lot of, you know, hypnotherapy and look, you know, it's like a lot of times it's about getting in an alpha state, getting in a different, you know, state. Other people achieve it in different ways, not
altered
always healthy
realities.
Ways. Exactly. But think about it. You know, like say, you know, like ayahuasca tourism is really big right now. You know, it has been for
yes,
the last few years.
Peru.
Going to Peru and drinking, you know, especially made tea with it.
Ayahuasca.
And, you know, perceiving all kinds of crazy stuff. You know, people that, you know, the big, you know, psychedelic age in America of the
mm-hmm.
60s and 70s and whenever that end, I guess
well,
it didn't really end.
The government was doing research on LSD and other hallucinogenics. And, you know, who's to say
yeah.
that the scientists want us to think that it's just a warping of our normal perception because of the drugs. What if it's not? What if it's opening the pineal gland, and actually
no.
connecting us to what we're not normally connected to?
Exactly.
And able to perceive what we don't normally perceive.
You know, able to see, you know, a different depth of color and a different, you know, different things that are there. So I feel like, you know, as far as what we, you know, might, you know, call reality, it's really just our perception we're talking about. You know, that it isn't really truly reality. I don't think any one person has ever actually glimpsed what may be the totality of, like, the reality that we're actually experiencing.
Yeah.
So what that
well,
does
not
in a sense
that.
Is put us in different realities that, you know.
Well, not only that, there's other ways to look at this, the concept or a discussion on reality. Scientists not only tell us that within our own reality, if it is a reality, which I'll get to that in a minute, that's a whole other thing. But there's upwards to 11 dimensions, but also they're telling us that we may potentially, the math shows that potentially there are multiverses. In other words, there
yeah.
are multiple beyond our, so we have our universe that, you know, everything that we can perceive, but that's just one of an infinite number of
mm-hmm.
universes out there. And so those are all different realities. And, you know, can we slip in and out of these different realities? You know, when you brought up about this topic, you know, we should do this on the show. Is there more than one reality? The first thing that popped in my head was the mandala effect. And,
yeah.
You know, that's named after Mandela, who was released from prison and in South Africa, you know, became the president, right?
Yeah.
After that? Yeah. But there are people that recall it differently. They recall him dying in prison.
Yeah.
And this is one of the first of these kind of reality warping things that people, you know, remembering something different. And so it was named after him because, you know, that was the one that was very, very prevalent early on. I mean, we're not talking about somebody thinking, you know, this, but rather hundreds of millions of people experiencing the Mandela effect. And
yeah.
Reporting it, which, by the way, it never gets into the regular, you know, news cycle. However, shows like Coast to Coast AM and other paranormal shows that cover paranormal have been covering this for decades. I've been listening to these shows for decades and decades and decades, and I've experienced it myself multiple times where, you know, I'm looking somebody up and they're still alive. And I'm like, no, wait a minute. He died 10 years ago. I clearly remember when this, you know, actor, singer, musician,
yeah.
somebody famous, you know, passed away. But no, you're looking in here and no, they're alive, you know? And it's
yeah.
not just that. It's a lot of other things. Like a lot of us remember things from our childhood, various, you know, breakfast cereals and just television commercials and just things that they changed. You know, the way GIF is spelled, it used to be spelled differently. Things like that, where we absolutely have this firm memory, which suggests, well, if in a different reality, Nelson Mandela died, or this actress or this singer or this musician, or GIF was spelled differently, or, I mean, there's literally hundreds of these, by the way, folks. Go explore. It's fun. You can find YouTube videos. You can explore this for, like, literally days. just go to Google and search Mandela Effect, and go on YouTube and search Mandela Effect, and you'll find dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens of examples of this. And so if in a different universe that is just slightly, just a little bit away from ours, where GIF was spelled differently, or Nelson passed away, does that mean that some of us shift into these other realities? And because they're so close, we don't notice it initially. Because realities, that other universes that are close to us are probably very, very close, where like almost everything is the same, just a few things are different. And so if you slip into something, it can happen instantaneously. Everything looks the same to you until you start noticing a few things. Oh, wait a minute, that's off. That never happened. Or this happened, but not in this new universe. So that's another aspect of, is there more than one reality? Have you ever experienced anything from that?
I have, but like in kind of different ways, because I also do think that, we often, when you study core shamanism, like modern contemporary shamanism, which, has learned a lot from different practices around the world, you have this concept of shamans journeying to the three different worlds, the upper world, the lower world, the middle world, and how reality is slightly different there. And when I've done journeying, the middle world is a lot like our world, only maybe more vibrant. But you would swear that it's kind of the same, And dreams, I think that sometimes when we have precognitive dreams, and look, there's a lot of people that have precog dreams, it sounds unusual or like some special gift, but there's really a lot of people that have that experience. And, how is that not shifting into the future or into another reality? Because it's not like you're in outer space and everything's so different. It's like you're experiencing exactly the same thing, only what's happening. I mean, when I was a kid, I had so much difficulty with that because I would think it was reality. I would think the things I saw in my dream actually happened, but then they'd happen 2 weeks later, and then that really, and so that brings up that feeling
or
of deja vu.
Or you visit a completely different world.
Yeah, exactly.
Is that happening in our dream state? And which one is the real reality? I love that one too. They always say this is the reality because you woke up here, but don't you wake up there? And maybe you just don't remember that part of it. I've had various really intense, detailed, very, very detailed dreams that I could not distinguish from reality. I had a pervasive one a little while in the past. A lot of that I'm an Air Force veteran, but I would have these intense, extremely detailed dreams where I couldn't tell that it wasn't real, where I was in the Navy and on a submarine.
Wow.
And I would wake up and I for a minute or two, I was a little dazed after I woke up because it was so real. And then I was back here and I had to remember, oh, wait, this is reality. Okay. You know, and I had to refocus. It was so, you know, the dreams were so real. And was it just a dream or was, you know, and by the way, I want to just throw out there that, you know, our dreams this, our dreams that. Why do they have to be one thing? I mean, I think that dreams can be many different things. Some are precognitive. Some are you're visiting a different reality. Some you're visiting this reality, but you're remote viewing somewhere else. You know, so I think that, you know, you can't really label it. You can't say that all dreams are this, all dreams are that, or all dreams are that. No, they're different things at different times. That's what I think. And they're different realities.
Yeah.
So it fits perfectly.
Absolutely. Yeah, and
yep.
Look at
and
things
then,
like the, you know, things like the Bermuda Triangle or certain places that, you know, some people believe are like vortices, you know, where people lose track of time or they have different experiences or they disappear for a while and show up 2 weeks later. I mean, there's a lot more to reality than what we're just sensing.
And if the multiverse theory is correct, remember, it's just a theory, folks. You know, people nowadays, especially in the movies and all, they throw it around like you know, science has proved this. No, science has a theory that this is what is going on. In fact, it's never been examined. In other words, science is you come up with a hypothesis and then you test, right? Well, mathematically, using math, you know, pen and paper on.
Yep.
Yeah, of course they don't do that. They use computers, but Well, you know, they do it on the chalkboards, though. You know, they do a lot of the math on the chalkboards. I don't know why in the modern, you know, in the modern era we're still using chalkboards. Anyway, but I guess it's dry erase now. You know, but you know what? Where's the holographic chalkboard of the future? I'm just wondering. But so you know, science had. They've done the math and they've shown the potential for multiverses to exist. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, if they do, or if something like that, doesn't that provide a wonderful explanation for things like ships and airplanes disappearing in the Bermuda Triangle, people disappearing?
Yeah.
By the way, it doesn't just happen there. People go out in the woods, disappear, and then show back up days, weeks, or months later, they've experienced no time going by, but their relatives and friends have experienced them being missing for hours, days, months, even years, and these people reappear. By the way, none of this ever makes it in the mainstream news, you know?
Yeah, well, you know, because it's like, you know, you can't just cover a story like that in like a, you know, 2 minute clip. You know, you have like you end up with a lot more questions than answers. But, you know, I'll throw this out there is that not only what you're saying about, you know, couldn't that possibly, you know, make sense of all these disappearances and these weird locations on Earth where things seem to happen in our dreams and stuff. But what if it could also make sense of death? Because how is it that we can, you know, so often we still have this perception of somebody after they've gone. You know, where did they go to? You know, we can go to all the great, you know, religions of the world and all the great sacred texts, and we can find ways that they try to explain it. But at the same time, what if heaven is just another dimension, like a really good one?
Well, I'm glad you brought this up because it actually explains a lot of different things. And that's exactly how I view it. You know, I keep telling people heaven and the angels are not up there. They're right here, just in a different dimension. And by the way, the theory that scientists have that there are 11 dimensions, 11, by the way, is a master number. And that's why when people say they're not sure, it's like 7 or 8 dimensions for sure, maybe 9 or 10, maybe as many as 11. And I'm like, no, it's 11. Because I'm a numerologist, and 11 is the master number, and it makes way too much sense. But here's another mind bender. Here's another mind bender. Not only is heaven, divinity, discarnate entities like angels, those that have passed on, everything, potentially in different dimensions, and which fits perfectly of even the passages from the Bible and other books of faith that talk about, you know, the seven heavens and the nine angelic realms and things like that. It makes a lot more sense that it's dimensional versus, oh, they're up there, we're down here. By the way, which way is up? Because remember, the planet is turning and we're spinning around the sun, you know, if you believe modern
science,
right?
And we're in the middle
of
space.
Yeah.
Right.
We're in the middle of space. There is no up. There is no up, you know. I mean, unless you're like at the South Pole and then up is, you know, towards the North Pole. That's about it. You know, right now, up for us, into the sky is actually sideways off the planet, you know.
Yeah.
Which gets me into a whole thing why time travel cannot actually work, because anyway, I won't go into that. We're going to do that on another show. We're going to do that on another show, how every time travel movie in history got it wrong.
Mm.
Stay tuned next Saturday, or the Saturday after next, actually. But this brings up something else. Think of the Garden of Eden. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
This is a place where we have all kinds of powers. We live forever. Okay. Which was what originally, you know, and then after the fall of Adam and Eve, okay, suddenly we have finite life and we experience time and all these other things. What if all that was is that we used to be 11-dimensional beings, and we were forced down into only experiencing four dimensions instead of 11?
Yeah.
That explains all of that. It explains why we're mortal. It explains why we experience time and all these other things. And then when our mortal existence ends in the three-dimensional world with the added fourth dimension of time, we return to the timeless, where there is no time. We return to the 11 dimension.
Well, makes sense to me.
Doesn't that make a lot of sense? But then
I think it does, because it explains also why we haven't been able to find the Garden of Eden on Earth. People have been looking forever. In this dimension.
It never was on Earth. It's not a place. It's not a place in the sense of somewhere on this planet. It's a different dimension. And it might not be a 11 dimension. Maybe it's dimension 6. I don't know. Or maybe it's dimension 8. I don't, you know. But it makes a lot of sense. It explains a lot of things. So we got to stop and take a phone call here, and I want to do upcoming shows as well. But we're going to come back to this, so don't go anywhere, anybody, because there's another aspect to this, which is, what is reality to begin with? We're going to talk about that when we come back. But first, let's go to the phone lines and take another call or two here. The person that's been waiting the longest is area code 417. Caller, what's your name? Where are you calling from? Are you there, 417? Hello. They've been waiting patiently for their turn. Area code 417, are you there? Well, maybe they just had to, you know, pop out to the restroom or something like that. We'll put them back on hold, and then we'll come back to that number right after this. Let's see who's been waiting the longest. Here we go. Hello, caller. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hi, this is Akanksha. I'm calling from India.
Hi.
From India. Wow, great.
What time is it? It has to be really different from our time.
1 in the morning.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
That's so cool of you to call us all the way from India.
Yes, thanks for calling in.
Thank you for taking my call.
What would you like to talk about today?
Well, I've just been listening to the show and the and the topic on the many dimensions is interesting. I just found it to be interesting because I always felt that there are many dimensions, unlike what science really says. So I'm not really a believer of science. So, yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Have you had any, why did you feel that way? Did you have any experiences that kind of, pointed to that to you, or just observations?
I think when I meditate, I kind of feel that there is like more dimensions. I don't know how to put it. And generally, scientific theories do not logically add up for me in terms of life experiences. So I just discard them.
That makes sense. That does. And, in meditation, we didn't mention that, but that's like being in that altered state, when we think of, being able to, isn't it sort of like shutting out, all the noise from the world around us, so that we can perceive, a lot of times we perceive things beyond what we see in our everyday world around us with all the people and the noise and the traffic and the schedule.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up because it's definitely, meditation is it's such a wonderful tool, but it's such a great way to, I think, explore, we think of it a lot of times, of just trying to like quiet our minds and shut out the noise. But a lot of times, we end up exploring other things that maybe we wouldn't even notice unless we could get that sort of quiet. And maybe that's part of why we have this perception thing with reality too. We've got a lot of stuff usually going on that, how much are we really perceiving anyways about that multitasking?
That's right. Yeah. That's right. And what about in India? I know there's a lot of belief systems and, over there, what do people think of, different realities and things like that?
I think people here connect a lot more to it. It's also a democracy, India in itself. So there are lots of ideas, though religion here is really prominent aspect of people's life, much more than law. I can say that because I'm a lawyer, so I know. So I just think that religious rules, religious sentiments is what keeps people bound together, community system and things like that. That is more of what their faith is in. Faith isn't a lot in God. So, yes. And I do think that they connect to different aspects, but I do feel they don't really fully understand it. They just believe it to be some supernatural power controlling them. It's like what I think of. It's how the majority thinks. It's like blind faith. I don't know how else to put it.
Right. Oh, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Interesting, yeah.
Yes.
It is interesting. I'm so glad that you called to especially that you brought up meditation, because that is probably one of the, to me, meditation's accessible to everybody. You don't have to have a lot of, training to get started. There's a lot of ways that you can just, start on your own and start to explore this idea. For our listeners today, if they're thinking like, I don't know, I'd like to see if I can sense anything beyond, just my everyday perception. I think meditation is probably the easiest and most accessible way to try.
True. Yes.
Yes. Well, thanks for the call.
Yeah, so cool to hear from India.
Absolutely. You're going to have to call back sometime.
Yeah.
I will. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Bye. Bye for now. And a lawyer, too. That was really cool. Very
I know.
Cool. Mm. Yeah.
Hey, you know, that's something that I should have asked her about is, you know, say we reach the day where, oh, I don't know, they come up with a, you know, interdimensional GPS system, you know, and we start mm-hmm. to be able to, you know, really be able to, you know, get in and out of different dimensions. What does that do for our legal systems? You know, like if you commit a crime
well, we know,
in dimension 5 and come back.
But see, we already know that lawyers exist in a different reality anyway.
Right.
Oh, gosh. Hey, real quick, before we move on, I got to mention that Spiritual Landscapes is going to be on tomorrow, February 24th, on Sunday. And they're doing the topic Embodied Spirituality in the Everyday Life, Part 1. Plus, they're having open lines as well. And then, let's see, on Monday, Catherine's continuing her series, Discovering Who You Truly Are, and she's going to be talking about your magnificence. Your magnificence. And, you know, by the way, God, I might have to call in and talk to her about this, Mary, because, you know, I have strong feelings on this, how magnificent sentient human life is on this planet, that we kind of have things backwards and upside down. It's not, you know, God in heaven's up there and the angels, and then we're, you know, the lowly creatures on the planet down here. It's actually the other way around. Everything that's ever happened is to get to the point, the sum total, which is sentient human life, and we are the ones that are able to, in our magnificence, using her title, are able to straddle between the spiritual realm and the physical reality and manifest in the physical reality, which discarnate entities cannot do. And it's the whole purpose for life and existence. And, you know, just the way she put that there, your magnificence, I think, you know, if you can wrap your head around that, it's very helpful to discovering, you know, which is the title of her series, Discovering Who You Truly Are, because I don't think we really know who we really are. So that's Monday, February 25th. And then Tuesday on the Power of Three show with Vivian and Rose. Let's see, what's coming up here? It's February 26th. Open lines all show long. Yes. Sure. Nice. So you can call in. You can connect with the other side, Mary. Ask questions about mediumship. Yeah, that's our medium show on Tuesday, so you can ask them all kinds of questions.
Can we call into that?
Yeah.
I'd love to get a medium reading.
It's perfect because it's open line. That's right. That's right. And then on Thursday is Stephanie's new show. I think this is going to be her third or fourth episode of Stephanie's Guided Tarot. And, oh, my God, folks, call in early because on Thursdays, you know, you can call in 15 minutes ahead of time. All the phone lines are full before the top of the hour, before the show actually starts. So call in as early as you can. That show is unbelievable. There'll be like 20, 25, 30 callers in the queue every Thursday for Stephanie's Guided Tarot. Stephanie is that good, folks. Is that good?
Awesome.
So you want to check out her show. It's an uber success already, even though it's only like her third episode. And you want to call really early if you want to get in. And just, you know, call in and also listen to the show. Listen to, you know, some of the great advice she gives, how she talks to the callers, how she, you know, if you're a professional reader, my God, you can learn from listening to Stephanie. I mean, she is just wonderful. And that's every Thursday. And then we took Friday off, Dr. Rose and I, but we're going to be back on March 1st, and we're going to have a brand new co-host. I am, you know, super excited about that. Kathy Shrogan is joining us on Fridays, and she'll be on March 1st, that, you know, the next Friday coming up. And then on Saturday is Mystical Musings. You want to tell them about what you got on the back burner here?
Yes.
For
Mystical
Musings.
Yes. Yes, the next Saturday I think is going to be a really fun show. You know, it's the first Saturday in March. And so month of March to me is St. Paddy's Day time. So we're going to be talking about the luck of the Irish and also the fairy faith. So we talk about fairies not that much on the network. I feel like, am I the only one that brings it up, like, ever? So, and that's the thing. I was kind of feeling like I'm the only one that really brings up fairies. It's like, okay, let me just throw out there my, you know, what I've learned about fairies so people kind of have an idea of what I'm talking about when I do bring up fairies. Because I think it's important to know. And I think it also, Dax, we didn't even talk about this, you know, for really, really hundreds and hundreds, if not, you know, maybe thousands of years, you know, this idea of fairies connected to it is this idea that they are existing in another dimension. So,
exactly.
You know, fairies could very well be a reality, people, and one that a lot of people are kind of tiptoe around. So I'm going to go tromping right through and just talk about it. So
the different reality thing also covers a lot. I mean, there's so many instances, you know, beyond something like missing people and returning people, you know, which a lot of people allude to that's, you know, oh, yeah, the UFOs are coming to get you, you know, aliens. But and the Bermuda Triangle, for instance, you know. But there's all these other things, like the Loch Ness Monster, Bigfoot, the fairies, the fairies, you know, all of these things where it's like, well, yeah, but we can't ever find them. Well, maybe it's because they're popping in and out of other dimensions.
Yeah.
Maybe what we call UFOs, which people nowadays attached to aliens, but UFO just means unidentified flying objects. So we see this UFO, as they say in Britain, it's UFO. You know, they see the UFO up in the sky and it zips over here, you know, defies, you know, what we think of as physics. And then they suddenly disappear in the blink of an eye. Well, maybe that's because they're not traveling, you know, through space from other worlds, but they're popping in and out of other dimensions, popping in and out of other universes, even.
Yeah, and maybe that's why we can't find them, you know, or we don't. You know, we keep looking at the sky through our telescopes, and we need an interdimensional telescope. And a lot of people think that about Bigfoot too. Why are those pictures of Bigfoot always so fuzzy? Because he's going in and out of dimensions.
That could be too. That could be too. And then there's the final question, and we'll go back to phone calls after this, folks. 714-816-4628. See if we can squeeze one or two in. The other thing I wanted to bring up is you'll notice on the banner for today's show, I got the
the Matrix background.
Yeah, I was thinking of Alice. I was, you know, how we've got on there, we've got Alice, you know, going down the rabbit hole.
Oh yeah.
You know, but we also, but I also put the Matrix. They call it Raining Code. You know, remember that from the movies, folks?
Yeah.
Where it was, you know, greenish and had all the different kanji characters and numerals going up and down. You know, going down. You know, flowing down. And I put that in the background, too, because that's another aspect of this whole conversation is, like, what is reality? You know, in neurolinguistics and in NLP and hypnosis, we talk about the five senses and how we perceive reality through these filters. Filters, the information coming in is filtered by our belief systems, by, you know, what we think reality is, by what our parents taught us, what our teachers taught us, what our clergy taught us, and so forth like that. And also our own studying and reading and understanding and, you know, the old term, putting on rose-colored glasses so everything looks rosy.
Yeah.
we filter everything that's coming in, what we think is reality. And that's why hypnosis and NLP techniques are so powerful, because they get at the root of this and are able to, you know, reframe the way we look at things, which often problems, issues that a client would come to an NLP practitioner or a hypnotherapist for, they're able to melt those away by shifting the frame, by shifting the perception of the reality, okay? But all reality is we're touching, feeling, smelling, hearing, seeing, through our five senses. That's the only way we can experience the outside world. And those are really just, you know, we don't experience directly through our eyes or through our ears or through our sense of touch. What's actually going on is turned into electrical signals, which then travel along our neural pathway, you know, travel along the nerves,
yeah,
to the neural pathways in our brain. And in our brain reconstructs the outside world. And it's in the process of that, things get deleted, things get exaggerated, things get interpreted, you know, things that aren't really there we see and see. Because in the process of, you know, it's the filters, but it's also the process of the brain reconstruction, constructing reality, you know, in milliseconds in our brain. There's also that delay. There is a fractional delay, and they say that it causes a lot of misunderstanding of, you know, what's really going on in reality.
Oh yeah.
But because that's all we know is what's coming in through our senses. Okay, and then of course, you know, on this show, us and our the other hosts of the other shows, and, you know, we would say, well, no, it's not just five senses. We actually have six or more senses at least, you know, because there's the perception through other dimensions through the spiritual realm, or from the spiritual realm through our subconscious and through our higher self. And so, you know, we call it the sixth sense, but it's actually there's multiple sixth sense. You know, all of our five,
yeah,
physical senses are actually represented in the spiritual realm as sense. So there's actually 10 or more that,
yeah,
we have, you know. But what I'm getting at with the Matrix concept is, you know, that's the whole concept of the movie, is that we think we're in reality, but it's not. It's just a computer-generated hologram like a game. And believe it or not, scientists, hardcore scientists, are more and more leading towards this theory of what's really going on, that what we perceive as the physical universe does not really exist. It's a hologram. It's a projection. And
yeah,
that makes perfect sense from, you know, and that's the hardcore scientists telling us this. Now, it also makes sense from the religious or the spiritual aspect, or the way we look at it, because we feel we're just spiritual beings temporarily inhabiting the material realm and these physical bodies. These are our bodies are just like avatars for our consciousness, which is eternal. That consciousness,
yeah,
is not generated by the brain, but is actually, and
yeah,
that makes a lot of sense too. But then it causes, you know, we have to think about, okay, what is that, you know, what does that mean really? And one thing I wanted to mention, just to finish up on this, is about the movies themselves, the Matrix trilogy, which coincidentally, okay, and there are no coincidences. So, you know, here's synchronicity. When you were talking to me about potentially doing this as a topic, is there more than one reality? Right at that moment, I had just binge watched through the three Matrix movies.
Weird.
And
oh, wow.
Strange thing, you know. And way back when they came out, you know, starting in 1999, and I don't know, were you in Hollywood Reporting at that time?
No, that was a 2 years before I moved.
2 years before, yeah. Just so folks, if you don't know it, Mary, you know, a tarot master extraordinaire, you know, crystal keeper of the universe here, actually was a Hollywood reporter and interviewer for decades. And, yep, all the big names. Yep, she talked to Clooney. Anyway, but
George.
I wanted to mention that, you know, when those movies went, especially when the first movie came out and just people went nuts, you know, they had created, you know, whole new systems for special effects for that movie to be able to make those special. And by the way, after the first movie came out, like 50 other movies copied the bullet time thing. You know, within a year.
Oh,
or two,
yeah.
You know.
Oh, that was funny. Even like spoof movies, you had to have that, even if you were doing something like scary
spoof,
movie.
And spoof movies, spoof commercials, spoof everything. You know, and it was amazing. You know how people were drawn to this movie, and eventually, you know, trilogy of movies, and it became so uber popular. To this day, it is.
Oh, yeah.
And this is what I think is going on, and that is that, yes, we were intrigued by the storyline. Yes, we were intrigued by the new special effects that no one had ever seen before. You know, Star Trek invented special effects that had never been used before back in the 60s for the original TV show. And then Star Wars did things that had never been done before. And then The Matrix did things that had never been done before. Yeah. And so we were amazed by that, by the special effects. We were amazed by the storyline. But it was deeper than that. It was the fire alarm's going off here. It was deeper than that, though. I think the real reason why – oh, my God, I wish they would turn that off. Sorry about that, folks. Sorry about the interruption. But the reason why I think people were so enamored by the hundreds and hundreds of millions to these movies is because the Wachowski brothers got so close to how it really, really is. You know, not that there is some malicious AI, you know, trapping us in the Matrix to turn us into batteries, you know, so that we could power the computers and the AIs and everything like that. But just the concept that what we perceive as reality is really a hologram, and we actually have a lot more control over it than we think we do, you see.
Yeah, and I think that's true. You know, every once in a while, you know, there'll be a movie that is so, you know, it's like a sci-fi movie. It's so out there. But for whatever reason, you know, there's this authentic, even if we can't, you know, explain it, you know, scientifically or whatever, something within us recognizes the authentic kernel within that. You know, we say,
It rings true. It rings
it's not
true
too
to
far
some
out
degree.
There. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think
and it's funny.
Just like in the movie itself, where Morpheus is talking to Neo, you know, and is just saying that, you know, you can't really put your, you know, it's on the tip of your tongue. You really can't say it. You know, you just know that something's wrong. Something's wrong with the world, you know. And I think a lot of people really identified with that from the very first movie, you know, that, you know, we know that there's more to reality than just what we're detecting with our five senses.
Absolutely. You know, you mentioned me and my crystal, my crystals, and I'm sitting here right now holding a little, you know, a funny little rectangular piece of seraphonite that I've had for years that a few days ago I started thinking about, and you know, it was kind of sad. I'm like, wow, maybe, you know, what happened to it? You know, where did it go? And just last night it reappeared and it's been missing for like over a year, and I thought maybe I had given it away or something, But this little particular stone, for whatever reason, I've had several experiences of it disappearing and reappearing in different places. You know, the most dramatic was that, you know, I had, you know, had all my stones in my little office where I do my readings and stuff, and then I woke up the next day and that stone was actually for some reason laying on the carpet in my bedroom position, so it was actually the very first thing I saw when I woke, you know, opened my eyes. So,
wow.
You know, kind of like Bigfoot, it keeps going in and out of dimensions or something. And you know, because you brought up the multiverse theory, one thing I wanted to mention real quick, because I don't think, you know, it wasn't a big hit like the Matrix movies, but there was a small little film made maybe 2009, 2010, around in there, by Fox Searchlight, called Another Earth. And it talked about the idea of a parallel Earth, and it had this whole interaction, and I'd interviewed the astrophysicist that consulted on the film, who's one of the proponents of the multiverse theory. And, you know, the thing that's interesting about it is that so many people that were, you know, doing the interviews for that movie and stuff, we had a lot of people talking, you know, pretty, you know, buttoned up journalistic types, you know, that aren't going to, you know, go too far out there. They went crazy, you know, doing the interviews for this movie, because so many of them talked about, like, you know, I wondered about that. I had a feeling about that. It's like, how did these other things happen? And I feel like this could happen, you know, and it's so, you know, these ideas aren't that far out there. Just kind of like you're talking about how many people related to, you know, that the Matrix movies. I think, you know, so many of us, we know there's more. And just because we can't, you know, just wrap it up in a neat little box and say, hey, we understand and have scientifically proven every aspect of this, doesn't mean that it's any less, you know, because there's a lot we don't know. And we talked about you just gave a great example of, like, all the filters that we have going on in our heads, and, you know, the physical filters that we have, like, it, you know, we have an eardrum, we have a retina, everything has to go through all these, you know, the physical structure too, before, you know, we have any concept of it.
Yeah, but, you know, it's not out there at all anymore, because hardcore scientists are telling us how weird things really are, you know.
Yeah.
And by the way, they've known this since the early part of the 20th century. For like 100 years. And these things that they've known are only just now starting to get into the mainstream. And it's often people that are not scientists that study the woo-woo, you know, and things like that, have to actually go out and find this information and bring it out. Because, you know, at high school, even college level, they are still teaching the Newtonian concept of, you know, physics, and not even getting into the real woo-woo weird stuff that happens in real hardcore science when you study at the subatomic level and even at the macro level. You know, when you get uber, uber big, like the universe and all the galaxies in it, and when they look at that from an astrophysicist's point of view, and then when you look at subatomic particles and what's going on in that world, things get really woo-woo, you know. And it hasn't even gotten in the mainstream. They've known this for forever. Yeah. So it's not that things are that strange, like impossible, strange. No, scientists are already telling us. You know, I mean, it was 100 years ago that Einstein told us that time travel is possible because the math works.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't go against relativity, you know. Anyway, wonderful conversation. I want to get into, you know, maybe on the next Psychic Saturday show. I know next week is Mystical Musings, but you know, in a future show, you know, I want to tell everybody my concept of why every single time travel movie, book, television show, you name it, has gotten it wrong.
Yeah, I want to hear that. We should do it the next Psychic Saturday show.
Exactly, exactly. So let's see if we can take one more call here. And I apologize if we didn't get to your call. We had great conversation here on the nature of reality, you know, but you can call in on Spiritual Landscapes tomorrow or talk to Catherine on Monday or the Tuesday show ladies, you know, Vivian and Rose. So a lot of shows coming up. You can call in. It's always the same number, 714-816-4628. Write it down, put it in your phone, and remember the psychictalk.net/live link. So we're going to go back to that area code 417 and see if the caller is ready now. Hello, caller. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hello, this is Linda. How are you guys?
Hi, Linda.
Hi.
Oh, we're doing great. Yep, last call of the day, too. You got through.
Oh, thank you. I have a question regarding my son. He's, I guess you say, kind of, I don't know if you want to say depressed or that kind of thing. So I want to see what we can, what is going on with him.
Do you want to see just what we pick up about your son? Now, when you say depressed, are you making sure that, you know, he's seeking out, you know, the appropriate, like, you know, help for that? Or are
that
you talking like clinic?
Well, that is something I'm going to introduce to him. So, yeah.
Okay.
I just want to see if there's something you're picking up that I'm not seeing.
Well, I can, you know, I guess I'll go first. That's good.
Mary, you go first. And also, I just had to tell you, I got to put Linda's line on hold, so she's not going to be able to respond back because there's way too much background noise. Okay.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Okay. Okay. Well, maybe we can bring her on at the end. You know, Linda, what I'm seeing with this, you know, the very first card that comes up is the Moon card. And, you know, it's funny because it's like with the Moon card, you know, there's a few different things, but the first thing that popped into my head is like, is he mooning over something? You know, is he maybe, you know, reflecting on, you know, something that is just not, you know, positive, you know? I feel like, you know, what else is coming up here, you know, the Knight of Wands is underneath it and then the Five of Pentacles in the future position. You know, Five of Pentacles, you know, shows like, you know, insecurities. It can't be financially related, sure, but to me, you know, it's also that feeling of like, you know, I'm lacking something. So that could be speaking to like self-esteem as well. Be a lot of uncertainty with the Moon card. And the other thing that I would say is that, you know, we have the Queen of Cups overlooking everything else, and I kind of feel like that's representing you. You know, the love and the care and the concern that you have for him, and opposite that is the Knight of Wands. So I feel like here's somebody with your son that, you know, it's like he wants to be able to move forward. Like there's maybe all this uncertainty and maybe a little self-esteem issue going on as well, where he just doesn't know what direction to go in. You know, with the Knight of Wands, a lot of times there's this like, okay, there's this energy, but it's like, you know, we don't have a good outlet for it. So those are just some of the things I pick up in the cards, but I definitely, you know, urge you, you know, look, depression is something that, you know, we need to take seriously, you know, and if you're picking that up and you're concerned, you know, as his mother, you definitely want to seek out, you know, the kind counselor or therapist maybe in your area that you could connect with. But, you know, also, you know, communication, you know, definitely is going to be key to that in encouraging him to go, not because there's something wrong with him, because we don't want him to, you know, be further affected if the self-esteem issues there, but to know that you want to help him find the direction to go in, because that's what I feel like, you know, is the main thing I'm sensing is, like, he just doesn't know, like, what's the next step, and maybe is lacking a bit of confidence in going forward with his life. So that's what I'm getting. Dax, what are you getting?
Yeah, you know, the King of Cups is talking about emotional stability in the midst of all the waves and, you know, the instability around him. And, you know, maybe he does need mood stabilizers or something along those lines. You know, we're not medical doctors. We're not psychologists or medical professionals. So we can't say anything or make any recommendations. We can only say he really should see somebody, you know, because what I'm getting from these cards is talking about that there is help as far as, you know, stabilizing, and that might be all he needs. That might be all he needs. But like you said, you know, I got a lot of pentacle cards, and I know you got pentacle cards and wands cards. You know, a lot of that is talking about work, and I'm wondering if that's, you know, where the problem is. Now, in the cards I'm getting, my central focus card is the Wheel of Fortune, which is a change in fortune. So it looks like there is potential, you know, potential help, a new cycle start. Right after that is the Death card, which is again, we had got that earlier in the show. It's a transition from one cycle to another, right next to the Wheel of Fortune card, which talks about a new cycle. Okay, so and whenever you're in a transition time, Mary, it's going to be tumultuous, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But there's these opportunities out there, because I got the Six of Pentacles, I got the Ace of Pentacles. There's opportunity, though. Maybe he's just not seeing it. Also, another aspect of the Ace of Coins is, you know, in the Ace of Coins, Mary, how there's that lush garden that we're in, and then there's this path leading out through the opening in the hedge or the fence going all the way around. It's like a fence made of hedges, you know, and then there's just this entranceway that's made out of hedge, you know, and it's the only way out. And there's a path leading out, and it leads out, and it's kind of deserty out there, you know, not lush and wonderful like it is inside the garden. But there's a peak out beyond the entranceway, which, you know, peaks are always goals in tarot.
Yeah.
And so it's a pathway leading out to his goal. But in order to get there, in order to follow the path and get to his goal, to get to the summit, he has to leave the garden, which is, this is a metaphor for thinking outside of the box and for going outside of our comfort zone. So in order to do this, he has to do that. He has to go outside of his comfort zone and also think outside of the box. So hopefully that helped. Any thoughts there, Linda, or did that make any of that make sense for you?
Yeah, a lot of it does. There was in the whole midst of everything that's going on, I guess a girl was involved, you know, kind of in the picture. So that kind of really kind of put a strain on everything else. So it's just kind of spiraling downhill where I'm going to end up taking him to somewhere. I mean, he's not overly horrible, but it's like he just kind of like not doing anything, you know, not moving forward to pursue anything. So,
well, you know, things don't have to be horrible in order to seek help. You know, it's actually the sooner the better, you know, before things get horrible. But you know, everybody could just use a little bit of help, right?
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean, does this girl play, I mean, I'm assuming it does play a huge factor
well,
in all
you
this.
Know, it's interesting that you asked that because I was going to suggest this to Mary, that I don't
yeah.
think either one of us is picking up anything about that. And
really?
I don't know, maybe that means that it's over and done with or not affecting the situation. You know, I don't know about you, Mary, but I didn't get any cards talking about relationships or this girl or anything like that.
No, you know, if anything, you know, it could be that, you know, what happened with that girl is why I'm feeling this sense of uncertainty and kind of a self-esteem, lack of self-esteem. You know, if that relationship did not, you know, wasn't supportive, let's say, you know, it could be like the,
right.
the after effect is like, now he's just sort of like, well, you know, not sure what to do next. And sometimes just, you know, finding a, you know, somebody that will sit down and talk to him can help him sort of refocus mm-hmm. and put those goals back on the table.
And that's the important thing. That's what's really showing up in both the cards I'm getting and what you're getting, Mary, which indicates
yeah.
to me that the relationship or the girl, what have you, is not as important. In other words, although
yeah.
all of these shifts and changes and things that are showing up in the cards might relate, you know, to the ending of a relationship or things going on with her, because we're not getting very specific information about her coming up in the cards and everything like that, because the cards we got about the situation is focused on these other things. It's clear that the tarot is telling us this is what is actually important. The girl, not
yeah.
the relationship. Getting emotionally stabilized and thinking outside of the box, going outside of one's comfort zone so that he can move forward with, you know, in my case, I got the Wheel of Fortune, which is a really good card to get, really good. You know, it's a change of fortune, things going his way, you know, kind of thing. But it that comes after these other cards about, you know, establishing emotional foundation and the cards about thinking outside of the box, about journeying outside of our comfort zone. That's what's really important. Well, we're about to end live streaming, so we've really got to go. Thanks, Linda. Thank you for the call. I hope that helps you out.
Yeah.
And Mary, you'll be back with your
yep.
show next week. Mystical Museum.
Yes.
And
the luck of the Irish and the fairy fade. Join me. It's going to be
time
fun.
Just in time for St. Patrick's Day is on its way in March there, and that's perfect. Absolutely perfect. And then, of course, we'll be back together the following Saturday, and you're going to have to remind me to talk about the time travel movies and my theory
yes.
on time travel. It's
awesome.
Going to be a lot of fun. Don't forget to tune in tomorrow for Spiritual Landscapes with Lottie Whalen and her husband, Frankie Arbeau. And it's going to be another fascinating show tomorrow as well. And they're going to be taking your calls also. Well, thanks to all our callers and all our listeners. And thank you, Mary, for being there.
Well, thanks for being there as well, Dax. And shout out to everybody who joined us in the chat room and
yeah.
all our callers, and hope everybody has a great rest of your weekend. Happy Psychic Saturday.
Great show. Bye, everybody. Bye, Mary.
Bye, Jack.
Thank you.
Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.